The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Guys, Shiraki, I thought of you last night because I was cheering on my youngest son, his the baseball team with the high school, and it was a beautiful night. And I thought, this is like the guy, Shiraki, because you're a coach, you know, you're out on the field, you're a daughter, dad.
I was out on the field in Berwyn. It's the first game all year that the girls got to play that it actually felt like spring, where we didn't have mittens or umbrellas. It actually felt like the season had finally arrived halfway through.
Oh, it was nice. And we saw you just dropped your latest piece, and we love it. As always, you're spot on. It's a great piece. Can you take us through what you're writing about and why you are relating the Eagles' visit to the White House with Trump, and how that may be some kind of a harbinger for Republicans here in Pennsylvania?
Sure. So, look, we've all felt a lot of times when you're trying to win elections, you go on theory or gut or anecdote, and then there's data. So a lot of us have believed for a long time that the party has to grow and become more diverse, and in part because it's the right thing to do, but also because of the changes that are happening among Hispanic voters, among African-American voters, among Chinese-Americans, that we needed to diversify the party, again, not just because it's a nice thing to do, but because it made sense. There's now data after the 2024 election. Albert Eisenberg did a report and actually showed neighborhoods in Philadelphia, neighborhoods in Harrisburg, neighborhoods in Hazleton in northeastern Pennsylvania, in the Lehigh Valley, that show that, in fact, there were seismic moves, particularly among Hispanic voters, that there were enormous moves among Black voters, both towards the GOP, but also just dropping out of the system. They've gotten so frustrated with the Democratic Party that they're not voting. So it's an opportunity for Republicans. Also on mail-in voting, again, all of us knew you can't let the Democrats have sort of a 60-yard head start and a 100-yard dash. And now we have the data that shows it's beginning to work. But we also have the Lancaster special election, which shows when we decide to take an election off, the Democrats don't, and then we have upsets. So I wrote the column to say, look, all of us sort of inherently know what to do, register more voters, build coalitions, get people to the polls. But now there's real data for some thoughtful people like Albert Eisenberg, Athan Koutsouras, Chris Nicholas, that says, here's the path. So I want to tie it all together and say to Republicans or Republican supporters, this is how you become the plurality party, which I never thought I would say in my lifetime, because when I started in this, we were a million behind. We're now down to probably 46,000 votes separating the two parties. And here's how you build a majority coalition to win. And then that coalition will actually help you govern and get things done. So I wanted to tie all those reports together with this theme of how do you build it? You know, how do you make Pennsylvania Florida? Because, again, when you and I were starting to cover all these elections, Pennsylvania, Florida, and Ohio were swing states. Ohio's now like a +5 state. Florida's, you know, a +10, +12. And so how do you get there? And how you get there is that you reach out to people that want to be with you. I know it's a novel concept, but go ask people who want to be Republicans to register Republicans. Go ask people who want to vote for school choice and public safety and securing the border and ask them to vote Republican. The roadmap's there. The question is whether Republican candidates and the Republican Party will do it. I'm hopeful. That's why I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it on the radio, and I write about it, and I say it at meetings so much they tell me, guys, shut up and sit down, go get us coffee. But I keep saying it because it's right in front of us. The path to winning elections is there if we just walk through the door.
And so you start with talking about the new PA GOP chairman. He's Greg Rothman, State Senator Greg Rothman, and it was one of his slogans that people like, let's make Pennsylvania Florida. So why should we use Florida as the model?
Well, two reasons. One, because a decade ago, they were us. Mm-hmm. It was not always a given that Ron DeSantis was going to win. In fact, when he won the first time, he won by less than about a point.
Yeah.
The legislature in Florida was not overwhelmingly Republican. The row officers were not Republican. There was a time, you know, a generation ago where you had one of the two U.S. senators was a Democrat. The Democrats were winning the governor's mansion. And so what did he do? A lot like Donald Trump, he explained issues that he talked about issues that matter and explained them in terms people understood. We're going to have school choice. We're going to arrest criminals. We're going to keep the bad guys away from the good guys. We're not going to waste money. We're going to cut taxes. In addition, he campaigned heavily in places Republicans usually don't. And in his reelection, you know, having won the first time by 1 point, the second time he wins by almost 20 points, mm-hmm. including carrying Miami-Dade County, which, you know, to share with us, I mean, it would be like the Republican candidate for governor carrying Philadelphia or carrying Montgomery County. That's how many inroads he had made in the Hispanic community and with mm-hmm. the small business community and earned their trust. So Florida's a large state. It's a diverse state with African-Americans, Hispanics, small businesses, seniors. Pennsylvania, Florida, and Arizona are the three states with the most senior citizens. It's very similar to us. And the path there, if Ron DeSantis 10 years ago said we're going to be the majority party, have more registered Republicans, and control all major offices, people would have laughed at him. But they went about the business of recruiting, of engaging voters they didn't. And then the best part, they actually did what they said. Trump is doing what he's saying. Mm-hmm. It's time for Republicans to go back to neighborhoods. You know, as I say, the future of the party is in Mayfair. It's not Malvern. The future of the party is in Reading. It's not in Radnor. Let's go talk to people that are literally almost begging us to let them in the party, to play a part. Hispanic voters, African-American voters, Asian-American voters, and small business owners who feel forgotten in a world of corporate titans. Small business owners and people who work in small business feel forgotten. The people who feel left out want to come to the Republican Party. They've given up on the Democratic Party. They're Republicans to go get. And that's why I think the Florida is the model and the roadmap is there. And look, we've won a whole bunch of races really close. Mm-hmm. 5 years from now, this state could go back and be blue. It could remain purple or go red. The only reason it doesn't go red is if Republicans don't do what they know is sitting right in front of them.
Yeah, I mean, and you're quoting this report. And you look at the tiny, really tiny groups of people, if you will, percentage wise, swing these elections. And so for us as a critical swing state, you know, you're citing Hispanic, Black, Jewish voters who together account for roughly a fifth of the state's electorate, and they swung to the right. You and I would say, well, yeah, gee, no surprise there, because it was upside down land craziness. But I will say for the Jewish vote, I don't know about you, Guy, but I have so many friends, guys and gals, so many of my girlfriends who've never voted at the top of the ticket for a Republican. And this time around, they said, I cannot, in all good conscience, as a Jewish American, vote for a Democrat at the top of the ticket. And they voted Trump. And I found that because of what October 7th and the protest on campus and the bullying and threats against Jewish kids and, you know, all of that. And I think that cannot be ignored, not just the Hispanic vote, the African-American vote, but the Jewish vote in play.
No, it's an excellent point. And it's one, again, the data now tells us what we all believe. We all felt. Look, first and foremost, October 7th and the aftermath and the horrible rioting and the burning of American flags and the burning is sickening. The political side is unfortunately, with the exception of John Fetterman, of Senator Fetterman, the Democratic mm-hmm. Party has either been silent or tacitly encouraging the rallies and the protests. Some members of Congress, Democrats, actually showing up at Columbia, showing up on these campus rallies. So, yes, look. For 20 years, the Democratic Party, through the 90s and 2000s into 2020, for all those years, the Democratic Party said to people, we don't really like people who have a faith. We don't really like people who appreciate the Second Amendment and want to own guns. We don't like people who get their hands dirty and make things. And after 20 years, people in rural Pennsylvania and western Pennsylvania said, oh, mm-hmm. I got the message. You don't like me. You won't protect me. You don't think about me. So they became Republican. First, they started voting Republican, and now they are. Same thing with Jewish voters. No block of voters has been more loyal to the Democratic Party as a stereotype, as a block, as Jewish voters. And this is not and as you pointed out, right, Dawn, this is not about theory. Mm-hmm. This is about life and death. This is about the safety of their children that they send to schools. They sent them to places, these so-called elite universities, so that they could become leaders, so that they could succeed. They're hiding in their dorms.
Oh my
They're
God.
Afraid to go to classrooms.
Yes.
And these voters, this is not a theory. They now say, wait a second, this is something everybody should care about. How dare you not care? Mm-hmm. So they're going to do something they've never done in their lives. They voted Republican. And again, Republicans need to go back and with sincerity and not be shallow and not placate, but genuinely say, free speech we get, burning flags, blocking off buildings, Nazi symbols scrolled on dormitories is not free speech. And we stand with the people who have the right to worship, the right to be who they are, and the right to be protected, and we're on their side. And look, there should be a political benefit to it, because unfortunately, again, with the exception of Fetterman, the Democratic Party has abandoned those people, much like they abandoned folks who make things with their hands. They've said, we value and prioritize the rioters. We value and appreciate the people who burn flags over your children. So voters say, oh, I get it. You don't value me. You don't value my children. I'm with the other side.
Mm-hmm. I also think I called it the Pennsylvania Passover. I also think the fact that they passed over Josh Shapiro, he and his wife, Lori, obviously are Jewish Americans. He's a popular Pennsylvania governor. And the fact that they passed him over and that the Biden-Harris administration, it just felt like they wanted to placate the other side and didn't want to anger, you know, anybody in, you know, who supported Hamas, basically, by choosing a vice president, you know, by choosing Harris's veep choice as a Jewish American. I think that played into this as well, Guy.
Sure. Well, look, if you won't stand up, if you won't, as a Democratic politician, stand up for people in Lower Marion, if you won't stand up for the deli owners and the shopkeepers in Center City, Philadelphia, or in Manhattan, then you're sending a signal that nationally you're not going to show leadership. If you won't stand with people literally in their own neighborhoods, if you won't stand with people literally in the University of Pennsylvania that was effectively shut down, that portions of it were blockaded off, if Democratic politicians, if Joe Biden, who was never shy about being at Penn and collecting a paycheck or having a museum, if Kamala Harris, that was supposed to be this great, you know, progressive hope, if they couldn't be bothered to show up at Penn's campus or Columbia's campus, their absence spoke so much to it. And the absence of Josh Shapiro, the absence of Josh Shapiro being a national candidate, the absence of Josh Shapiro being asked to go to places and campaign, they have not shown moral leadership on any issue. But the greatest turnaround has been their abandoning of Jewish voters.
Yes.
The Democratic Party continues to do things that you and I would never have thought a generation ago. The party that was for women's rights now defends the right of 6'7" men to spike basketballs in the faces of women. The party that was supposed to protect the vulnerable and Jewish voters, it's still in the shadows of the Holocaust, has abandoned them in a false understanding of free speech. They have shown no leadership. They have shown no courage. And there should be political fallout, not because I want the Republicans to win, but because the Democrats have abandoned moral high ground and common sense. Republicans need to now go back to these voters and say, we welcome you to the party. We welcome you, and we will not abandon you like the other side did. And then they better not. They better not abandon them, and they better stand with them. But the opportunity is certain there.
Yeah. And the other piece of this, and I don't see this getting play, and in fact, I think this was a question that would have been good for Terry Moran of ABC to ask Trump last night. And the question would be, when you look in Pennsylvania, and this is eye-popping, I don't, other than you highlighting the report, Guy Shiraki, that in Real Clear Politics, the fact that Pennsylvania Hispanics are this rising share of the state electorate and they write a key component to any winning Republican campaign. And I think the quote is, helped President Trump exceed 20% of the citywide vote, the first Republican to do so this century. This is Philadelphia, the state's largest concentration of Hispanic voters. Looking at this, they voted more Republican than the city as a whole for the first time. That's amazing. That's an amazing statistic, 20% of the citywide vote. And so my
yes, and they did it without a lot of organization.
Yeah.
They did it on their own. And Ryan McKenzie is in Congress in the Lehigh Valley in no small part because of Hispanic voters in the Lehigh Valley. Rob Bresnahan is the new congressman of Northeast Pennsylvania in no small part because Donald Trump carried Hazleton. Hazleton, which a generation ago was the epicenter of the fighting over illegal immigration, is an overwhelmingly Hispanic city now of middle-class families, of stable voters, that they are, and right, so they're doing this without even a lot of, I mean, there's been some effort, and Albert did some things in digital media and some other things, but I mean, we haven't even skimmed the surface, and they're coming to us.
Well, that's just it. That's my question as far as, you know, we right now, I think it's popular within the Hispanic community in America, across America, that Trump is getting rid of and deporting dangerous criminals who've been let out of prisons. So from and returning them to their home countries, right? But then as far as this issue of immigration, you know, the storyline was or believed that the Biden administration just sort of opened the floodgates and expected that everybody coming to this country, perhaps illegally, right, would vote D. But is it that in this community, there's a huge chunk of people who came to this country under Biden and surprise, they voted. These are people who brought their rosaries, they're Catholic or they're Christian or they're faith-based or they're family-based. And so does Trump then look at this and go, wow, maybe I'll just stop these deportations and figure out a legal pathway to citizenship because these are my people?
Well, I also think it's the folks that have been here that are first and second generation folks, right? Because when you think of violent crime, you don't think of Gladwin. You don't think of Martha's Vineyard, right? So I think if you're in a blue collar, working class neighborhood, you're the one that sees the crime. It's your schools that are overwhelmed, right? And you talked about, yeah, there are isolated cases in Chester County and their Hispanic populations. But the reality is, the schools that where you can't move, where your children can't learn, are places like Northeast Philly High School. There are urban areas. So I think a lot of the pushback, again, the New York Times didn't get it. But if you came here legally and you're Hispanic, you came here from Mexico, you came here from Guatemala, you came here so that your kids could do better. You came here to start a business. You came here to learn a trade. So these people that come in that don't have a trade or are violent criminals or didn't come here to contribute, those people are the ones that feel it first. You don't feel it in Malvern. You don't feel it in Gladwin. You feel it in those neighborhoods. So I think it's not only that long term might those folks who have faith and believe in family and want their kids to do better that are waiting at the border to come in, not only might they be eventual Republicans, but it's the people who are here that own the bodegas, that own the restaurants, that came here and now they are lawyers or doctors or nurses themselves. They came here and they see the open border as they're on the front line. And they're the ones that say, we played by the rules. We want our kids to do better. And now our neighborhood's unsafe. And now our schools are overcrowded. And that's why I think we need to go back to those folks and say, hey, you know, we're going to stand with you. And, you know, to your point, it's funny. You know, people who have faith, people who believe in family and people who want to work hard. The Republican Party is where they belong because the Democratic Party has made fun of faith, has told us families don't matter, and has told us that they're more focused on big corporations and big, you know, the New York Times. The coalition for the Republican Party is right in front of them if they go and build it. And Donald Trump, you know, doesn't necessarily always say it the way you want, but his actions and his focus and his priorities certainly do.
Amen. We gotta stop it there for until next time. Guy Shiraki, you can read more. It's a great article that you go into and some of this information, Guy, and thank you for bringing this to our attention because I didn't see this report or the way that you had framed it. So thank you so much.
Happy to help and enjoy the weather and good luck with baseball.
Thank you. You too. Guy Shiraki.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.